we love to celebrate the Advent and Jesus coming, and it is the time that light just came to planet Earth in a special way, and how awesome that is to celebrate. But you know, there were days of darkness leading up to that in the world, and I just want us to know that even in the times that it seems like things are dark in the world, God's still doing something. I want you to keep that in mind. God has a plan, and God is doing something. He's doing something special. He's doing something good. But in these days leading up to the coming of Jesus come as that little child that we celebrate, I want you to know there were 400 years of silence from the prophets. I want you to think about what that was like. You know, there had always been prophets, and oftentimes they got mistreated and everything else by those who didn't want to hear what they had to say. But, you know, we still live off of the life that those prophets breathed to us, even in the Old Testament of the Bible today. There's some of that that still has not yet been accomplished. And so we look to that, we find guidance, we find joy in the prophecies that were told that were fulfilled. We can see that just like they were fulfilled in the coming of Christ and his dying on the cross and his rising from the dead and all these things that were prophesied before, that those future prophecies that haven't happened yet, they're going to happen, folks. We can take joy in knowing that. But just thinking about the book of Malachi, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Malachi today. I just want us to think about these days that this was the last prophet to speak, and 400 years of silence after this. This was their last word from God, that fresh new word to them leading up to the coming of Christ. And so in these days leading up to Christmas, I wanted to touch on these because I want us to know that even though things look strange right now, God's still working. God's still doing something. God still has a good plan. Jesus is still coming back. Amen. And so just like he came the first time, he's coming again. And so let's go ahead and read Malachi chapter 1 this morning. And we're going to talk about it just a little bit. And so God has a good plan. Do I get an amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to this morning. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I've hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus the Lord of hosts, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Verse 7. You offer defiled blood or defiled food on my altar, says the. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. but you profane it. In that you say, the Lord, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these verses, we can see that you had chosen Israel out of all the peoples of the earth, even over his twin brother, Esau, Lord. You chose him to be your people. And you chose to bring forth through him the Messiah. You chose to bless them among all the inhabitants of the world. And yet, Lord, they had forgotten to put you in a place of honor in their lives. And Lord, this is what brought about those days of darkness leading up to the coming of Jesus. And I'm afraid that maybe in our world today, people have forgotten to honor you as king. So, Lord, I want to learn from the book of Malachi. I want to learn today for our own lives that we need to make sure and put you first. First in our lives, first in our nation, first among the church especially. Help us not try to spend all of our time trying to be pleasing to the lost and to the world in a way that would defile ourselves before you. Help us to know that to lift up Jesus is the greatest thing that we can give our neighbor. And so help us, Lord, to make sure that you're first in our lives. And Lord, as we unpack these verses today, help us to see that though there may be weeping that will last for the evening, joy comes in the morning. Even while this was being written by this prophet, your plan to send Jesus and even the number of days that it would take for that to occur had already been ordained. The prophet Daniel had written down the exact timeline that you gave him of when Jesus would come. And so, Lord, help us to know that you're no less still sitting on your throne today. And, Lord, we look around, and our only concern should be on living a life that is truly pleasing to you, putting you first in our lives. So, Lord, teach us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. And as we look at these words, I want us to know that even though this was that final word that was spoken from God, through his prophets before the advent of Jesus, that this was such a treasure. Can you imagine like hanging on to this and knowing that that maybe it gives a warning, but that warning is a sweet warning. If we were doing wrong, would you want to know? If we were really going, the direction of our life was not really pleasing to God, do you want to know? It's a sweet thing for God to share with us. When we are going astray, it's a sweet thing for him to warn us. It's his love. They're asking, you say you love us, Lord, but show us. How do you really show us that love? I'll tell you how God shows us that love. Well, first of all, we can look back and see. He sent Jesus. Guys, no matter what we got to go through now, I can tell you he has shown us his love. Amen. And here, as we look at this, and we look at the word that is being spoken, we know that that was always in his intention. That's why he chose Israel among all the people of the world to bring. Not because they were better. Do you think reading the books in the Old Testament, reading Genesis and reading about Israel, reading about Jacob, that somehow he was so much better than Esau and that's why God chose him? He really wasn't. In fact, he was trying to steal birthright, steal the blessing all along, wasn't he? It wasn't because he was better. It was because God wanted to show his greatness, that just by his sovereign will, he would sanctify those who he had actually put his hand upon and chosen. And so it was because it was his will to do that he did it. And so I want us to know that God still has a will that he's completing right now through you, through me, through us, through the church. And this is our time like none other that I've ever seen for the church to shine light into the darkness. God has chosen us to do that. And I know a lot of times people get real squeamish on that word chosen. Guys, the Bible uses it. It's okay. If you're Christ's child, you are the elect. Let's just live it. Let's just live like it. Let's love like it. Let's not be ashamed of our God and Father. Let's hold him up. Let's hold his standards up. And let's say, thus says the Lord. This is the time. Did you know that on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, which is 8 a.m. Central Time, our Supreme Court is going to start hearing a case that could very much be used to overturn Roe v. Wade. And because of that, I'm going to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning at this church. And anybody that wants to meet with me to pray while those first arguments are being established and heard, I'm going to be here for 2 hours from 8 to 10. And if you'd like to come and pray with me, there's a chance that we can tune into a simulcast type of a prayer service as well. I'm not exactly sure how all that'll work, but if the electronics don't work, I know prayer still works. And so we're just going to pray during that time because I believe God's doing something really big in these times that we are in right now. Guys, I'm going to say, when we look at not putting God first, I think that legalized abortion is one of the pinnacles of that in our country today. You know, it's all fueled by fear. It's all fueled by selfishness. It's fueled by all these things that are the opposite of faith. And I think if we'll just put God first, he'll steer us out of some of this mess that we're in. And so let's look at this just like they were to look at it in the days of Malachi. So let's break it down just a little bit more. So we may have had these days of darkness, but hey, Jesus was coming, right? That first slide, Jesus was coming. And this was the final word from God, but hey, it wasn't his final word forever, okay? It was just for a 400-year period of silence that he was allowing them to test their hearts, to look at their lives, to see if they were going to be faithful and if they were going to wait on Messiah to come. And just like he came, then he's coming again for us today. We need to remember that. God chose his people out of all the people of the earth, and it's really interesting. It's just outlined right here without a doubt. God chose Jacob. You know, I've often thought about this. So what was Esau to do at this point? I can tell you, Esau's really only right choice at this point was to submit to God's will and to serve his brother. If he would have just submitted to God's will and just served his brother, then he would have been in line with the Spirit of God and with God's will. But you know what he chose to do instead? He chose to fight against it. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, if you're sitting in here today and you realize you've been fighting against the will of God, I just want to let you know you're not going to win. You are not going to win. You are not stronger than God, and you're not going to change his mind. How many of you have ever thought that you could do that? If you prayed hard enough, you were stubborn enough, or if you just refused to do what God said, eventually he'd change his mind and he'd be in line with your will. And you may say you've never done it, but I can tell you if you continue to sin in certain areas of your life that you know better, in a way we are kind of doing it. So what I want us to know is we are not going to change the will of God. Some of those areas where I dug in my heels and I said, God, you know, I know this is what you want me to do, but I just don't think I'm going to do it. You know, he wouldn't let me grow past that until I surrendered that part of my life. And maybe I've got one of those areas, maybe two in my own life today. I don't know, but if I do, I hope God will show me so I don't continue to be stuck in that one place. You know, if you look at what he says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 4 in that next slide, I'm just going to warn us, don't fight against the will of God, surrender to him. Because, see, Eden went on and said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build desolate places. We'll build them up. We'll build up those desolate places. And thus says the Lord God of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. And I'm going to say, I think that's what the United States of America is kind of doing right now. God has shown us that there are certain areas of our country that we are not obeying him in, and he is not going to bless, and we have said we don't care, we're going to do it anyways. You know, I think 9/11 was a wake-up call for us that he could hand us over anytime, folks. So the question is, are we going to surrender to him and submit and find his blessing? We like to sing God Bless America. Well, do we want to be in America he can bless? That really is the question, because he's not going to bless sin. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and a people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Man, that's a horrible name to receive. But you know what we got to remember on top of everything else? God will be glorified. Do I get an amen to that? In the end, guys, even when people are being thrown into hell, God's going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified for it ending up being exactly like he said that it was. And for his people that are going to be entering into heaven, oh, God will be glorified. Amen. And you know what heaven's going to be all about? Everybody wants to know, what's heaven all about? Well, I'm just going to tell you in a nutshell. It's all about God. It's all about his awesomeness. It's all about us glorifying him forever and ever and ever. And yeah, you know what? You're going to be perfectly satisfied in it. Because God is going to be perfectly glorified then. There's not going to be any sin to mess that up. Here's the thing. God will be glorified. And that's exactly what he says here. Your eyes shall see and you shall say the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Guys, what he's saying is when Messiah comes, he includes all the nations who come to him. Amen. It's through Christ. God is glorified through Christ. What happens when God's children mistreat him? That's what we find in the rest of this chapter, guys. Here's the deal. Cursed will be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. Guys, you may think he doesn't see. He sees everything. You may think because he's kind of being silent, he's kind of being quiet, and he isn't just rebuking you by screaming at you, that he hasn't noticed, but I want you to know God knows everything. Never mistake his silence for agreement. I actually talked to somebody not too long ago. I said, how do you feel like your relationship with the Lord is? And he said, well, I'm not really living for him, but he doesn't seem to be really, coming down on me hard. I'm not sick. I've got plenty of money. So God must be happy. Man, that's a very dangerous way to be assessing what God is pleased with. You know what we need to assess what God's pleased with by? Right here. The Word of God. So the question is, are we following the Word of God? Are we living like God has shown us? Or are we not? God's noticing. And we're not always going to see an immediate cause and effect all the time, okay? But what we do find is, if you want to have a fruitful relationship with God, do what he says. Trust and obey, for it's the only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. There's a reason why the early fathers wrote that song, guys, because it's still true today. You know, just trust and obey daily. But here's the thing, guys. God don't want our seconds. God don't want our second best. God don't want our leftovers. God wants our first fruits. Here's the thing. In the end, guys, he owns 100% of it. You know, every breath you are breathing right now in this place is a borrowed breath. Every heartbeat that your heart takes, you know who owns that? God does. Let's live it for him. Let's give him a first fruit of our time. Let's give him the first fruit of our finances, the first fruit of our everything. Let's just give him the first fruit and let him direct us on what to do with the rest. Let's be ready to live for God fully, because you see, guys, they were playing church. They were going ahead and having the service, having the sacrifice, but they were really giving the lame animals, the ones they didn't want. Are we giving God the lame stuff in our life that we don't really want? The leftovers? I can tell you, I don't think that pleases God. God hasn't changed. And he said, would your governor be pleased with that? If the president of the United States was coming to your house, well, if the last president, no, I'm teasing. If a really important person was coming to your house, a world leader, let me just say it that way, how would you respond? You'd probably get out the best of things. You would probably try to give the best meal that you could give. You would probably try to give him or her, whoever this important person is, the first fruit of your time. You wouldn't say, well, you know, I don't think I really, you know, last minute, I don't think I really want to bother with this today and just not show up. Or you wouldn't give them the leftovers that were almost a week old and you're pretty sure you probably should throw them out. No, you would give them the first, the best. Man, how much more does God deserve our best? Amen. And here's the cool part. If you'll give him that, he'll bless the rest. That's what's so crazy about it. I used to think about my finances. Well, man, if I give God the first 10%, I may not have enough. We'll have to wait and see if I have enough. And then no, it don't work like that. God put it on my heart to be serious about tithing, and I started doing it. And what I found is I have never gone without since then. Well, we used to struggle before that. You know, I don't get up here and pound on that subject ever. But I'm going to share with you this morning the story of my own life. This book, later on in it, we will get to that point where he says, test me in this and see. It's the same way with the giving him the best of the sacrifice, the best of the time. Let God bless you fully. So how should the Heavenly Father be treated? Let's just put it into three quick categories. He deserves the best of our offerings. Guys, we should represent his name well to the rest of the nations. Amen? Let us live in such a way that like we're showing that God's number one in our life. You know, he's bigger than everything. And it don't matter if we're facing a pandemic or we're facing inflation or we're facing whatever. Guys, let's show them that the church prospers because we have the blessing of God. And call them to come join in that blessing. And then we should also look forward to group worship. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven forever? We're going to be worshiping God together. And you might think, well, you know, sometimes when church goes really long, I get bored or whatever. It won't be like that in heaven, guys. We're going to be in his presence. We're going to be perfect, too. We're going to love it. So how are we doing now? Well, the question I ask myself is, when the rest of the world looks at my life, will they think the Heavenly Father is great? That's the question I want to live with an overarching in my mind. You know, if I'm the only example of a Christian that a person might see today, what are they going to leave here thinking about God? What will they think I really believe in him fully or not? Will they really see faith in my life? I pray the answer can be yes. Well, I just want you to know, Israel's rebellion actually was in part responsible for that 400 years of silence from God. I think every day we're faced with a choice. Am I going to be a person, are we going to be the people that God can bless? Because he's not going to bless sin. So let's make a choice today. We're going to be the people he can bless. Praise God. It's not through works. It's not anything we earn. But I can tell you, Jesus came to die for us to set us apart so that we can live for him. And as we live for him, he is definitely going to bless it. Have you put yourself in a place that God can fully bless you? Have you surrendered to him? Have you submitted to him your life and called on him as your Lord and Savior? Has he put his finger on that one thing in your life and said, you know, you really need to work on this. You need to let me work with you on this. Let's just agree with him. Let's do it today. One thing at a time. Don't take on too much. Don't get stressed over it. Don't say, how can I do this? Here's the cool part. If he put his finger on it, he wants to help you. He wants to be the force, the strength, the power to do it. All we need to do is say yes, and he'll walk us through it, one step at a time. To be pleasing to God is more precious than anything else in this world. Let's strive to go forward with him. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen for us to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, And you have chosen me to be a child of God. You have set me apart. You have opened my eyes. You have allowed me to have the opportunity to say yes to you. Lord, I know you didn't make me do anything. You're not making me stand here today. But Lord, I choose to follow you. Lord, I would rather be pleasing to you than to be able to please all of the people around me in the world. One thing I've learned as well is it's impossible to please everybody all the time anyways. I don't know why we keep trying as people. Let us have one goal in mind as the Christian people, and that's to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anybody here that hasn't surrendered their heart to you yet today, I pray that they will just ask you during this time of invitation, Lord, is my life right with you? And if they are led to surrender everything today, then I pray they'll come forward and just lay it down up here at the front of the church before you symbolically and let you raise them up. Lord, if we realize we've been giving you second best of our time, the leftovers, second best of everything in our life, the leftovers, then I pray we'll be convicted today to give you the best, the first in our lives. Lord, help us to take that step towards you. We know that you're not sitting over there tapping your toe waiting to make us walk the whole way. Even the prodigal son, when he got close and his father could see that he was coming home, you ran. The Father ran to meet him. Thank you, Lord. You're running to meet us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.